Did the cry of Lazarus change us this last week? Did that appeal, that plea for help, move in our hearts? Or did we hope that it would go away? Did we hope that someone else would rise to the occasion to meet that need? One of the most colorful priests I ever had the privilege to know was a priest by the name of Father Pat Egan. He was from England, and he was also the boxing coach at the University of Michigan. And now, while I don't like the University of Michigan for a lot of things, I think they had a pretty good boxing program. And Father Pat Egan used to speak about the way that priesthood, and especially preaching, was very much akin to the work of a coach with their boxer in the corner. If I remember right, a round goes about 3 minutes. And there's only a very brief minute for that coach to encourage and rally the spirits of the boxer before he goes back in for yet another round. Father Pat Egan, in using that image, got me thinking about the role of this homily and each homily as we come, regrouping, as it were, after a round has passed, another week has come and gone, and we come back to the corner to receive the consolation of the Lord and also his challenge. Often through the Gospels, we hear about the disciples who went out and they tried to put into practice some of what Jesus had given them. And they came back, sometimes with great stories of victory, but also sometimes with great stories of their own inadequacies, their own reluctance. Lord, we just didn't get it. We didn't make much inroad. We couldn't drive out those demons. Can you help us? Can you lead us? Can you guide us? So as we ask this question, did the plea of Lazarus from last week's Gospel move and open our hearts to greater generosity? I'd like to say that we're in the corner with the Lord. I'm in the corner with the Lord. And he, like a good coach, calls forth what we don't think we have to give. Isn't that the heart of a coach? To dig deep and to help an athlete, help a boxer, to dig deep and find within them the courage and the enthusiasm and the resolve to go back in for one more round. The Lord's invitations, truly, if you take him on his word, are relentless. His invitations are uncomfortable. And I think the great thing about a homily series is that it wasn't just one freak weekend that you came and said, gosh, that was either an uncomfortable call or one that I don't want to think too much about. The beauty of a homily series is we try to sustain the Lord's call faithfully, to let his call echo, as the scriptures are so often woven together. But often from week to week, we turn from one theme to another. I'd like to say that our theme this week is the same as our theme last week: to receive the great generosity of our God, but to never let that generosity end in our hearts, but rather to find within ourselves the Lord's call, his relentless invitation to be generous with his own generosity. I spoke about my experiences wandering around the city of Rome in my studies, and the struggling, the wrestling with loving the poor, because I was often so inadequate in my love and my response. And I can hear a voice go something like this: Padre, Padre, dammi una moneta. Father, Father, give me a coin, give me some money. I can hear that voice echoing after me down those cobblestone streets, in effect to say, wow, how little did I love, how little did I do, how often did I just go by on the opposite side of the street, or look down, or pay attention more to the conversation I was in with someone walking to class than to be attentive to that voice. And I remember just a few occasions looking up to catch them in the eye, and I remembered seeing a grimace on the face of the poor at times. And that grimace wasn't always an anger of me having passed by, but was often just a grimace of misery, that so often a world has passed by again and again and again. The first reading is so timely. These first readings through these last weeks have been so rich. We're in the prophet Habakkuk. And although he's writing thousands of years ago, he speaks into the uncertainty of our own times. He speaks of violence at every turn. He speaks of ruin. He speaks of human misery and how hard it is to look upon that misery every day. He speaks of destruction, of strife, of clamorous discord. I described several weeks ago the reason that we are brothers and sisters divided against each other is because we are a world estranged from our heavenly Father. And so the Lord is always trying to reconcile us to himself so that we will likewise be reconciled to our brothers and sisters, especially those who are most in need. But up against this reality of our world, which is broken, which is so systematically gone astray, we realize our true limits, because the size and the scope of poverty, of need, of misery, of destruction is crippling. The causes are systematic. They're not going anywhere. They're not getting any better. But I think the Lord's invitation is to allow the persistency, the unrelentingness, even the annoying voice of the poor, the obnoxious voice that I knew so often, Padre, Padre, dammi una moneta. Father, couldn't you just give me a coin? And at times, as I did place a coin into a worn hand, or as at times as I walked by and heard that voice echoing in my hearts, the Lord is inviting us, he's calling us, not to harden our hearts. We know well that we have received from the lavish generosity of our God. Spoke last week about how disciples need to make an action plan to be generous. Today I'd like to address for a moment the obstacles that hold us back from that plan. We might have even gone home last week and made a plan to be more attentive to the need where it is to be found. But what were the obstacles? I would say they come in the form of questions, some of them like this. Does my generosity make any difference at all? We've often given and we've often realized that it's just a drop in the ocean. And what difference does it make? Another voice that comes as an obstacle, why should it be me? This is hard-earned money. This is hard-earned energy. Why should I have to do it as we look around at a world that has so closed their hands and hearts to those in need? Why can't some government agency take care of them? Why can't someone else, some other organization or charity, respond to that need? While so many are not doing anything, why should I have to dig deep and do something? But my friends in Christ, I remind you that from the very beginning, from Christ's original call, the distinguishing mark of the Christian has always been a response to the need of those in our midst, different, profoundly more generous than the world around us. We do live in a consumerist age, and we are very aware that some only take. They live so that they can gather as much as possible. But perhaps our giving, perhaps our generosity is called to stand in the face of that, to give on behalf of those who only take, to give for those who it hasn't crossed their mind to give, to give on behalf of those who think it's somebody else's responsibility to give. I've been there myself. Sometimes it is that creeping sense the poor are lazy, the poor are entitled, the poor should be taken care of by government. But it is and must be the mark of the church, the mark of a disciple, the mark of our discipleship, that we are attentive to those many, many needs. Why is it that our culture is so fascinated with the pay it forward phenomenon? To buy someone in a car behind you a coffee, what a beautiful act, what a beautiful gesture. I would suggest it's something along the lines that we have come to expect so little from our brothers and sisters. We have so readied ourselves to be just treated as objects passing in the street that we are surprised by the marvelous, even simple generosity of a pay it forward. There was a line at one point I heard. A gentleman had held the door for a lady who was coming. She had her hands full. And she said, thank you very much, but I can hold the door for myself. I'm not bringing up this story to bring up gender roles and the traditional beautiful call to chivalry, that high call that men have. But I do bring it up because the man responded in a unique way. He said, I need to hold the door for you so that I remember who I am. I think there's something very akin to this in the call to charity for the Christian. We don't do it simply because there is need, but we do it because we ourselves need to be reminded that the Lord has called us. He's called us by name, and he's given us a task in the world. And today he encourages us with that persistent, persistent voice. I want to turn to the gospel for a moment. So often in the gospel, the disciples come back just like the boxer back into the corner after a rough round. They were beaten up, and the apostles said, Lord, we don't know if we can do it. And the Lord gives some further guidance. He gives some further encouragement. He prays and encourages and blesses them. And today's gospel is very much like that. Jesus had just given a discourse about forgiveness. It goes back to that image of brothers and sisters divided against themselves. And he tells them, There's no limit to forgiveness. There's no ability to say, I'm going to forgive this many times, and then it's up. No, he says, as often as your brother or sister repents, so too you must forgive that many times. That's a high call. We could think of forgiveness very much like giving to the poor. We say, does one who I am going to forgive really deserve it? Do I really have the resources that are going to help them? What if they reject it? What if they betray me? What if they turn their back? What if I forgive them and I put myself out and make myself vulnerable, only to be met by their resistance, by their bitterness, by them hurting me again? But it's as Jesus says that simple thing that we must forgive as many times as we need, as many times as repentance comes, that the disciples acknowledge their stinginess and their calculating efforts in forgiving only a certain mathematical number of times. And acknowledging their limitedness, acknowledging their stinginess in forgiveness, they turn to the Lord as we must turn to Him today. Increase our faith. I think the great limiting obstacle of our generosity is our lack of faith. But the Lord says, if only you had faith the size of a mustard seed, if only you could begin with some generous act, aware that the Lord will multiply and make it real and make it increase. The fact that charity grows by doing it, by practicing it, by giving it away. Faith means hearing God's call, hearing His voice, not hardening our hearts to it. We heard that again and again in the psalm response. If today you hear the Lord's voice, harden not your hearts. And then we might come to the end of our lives and we might say, what did I really accomplish? What did that $5 bill really accomplish at the end of the day? Perhaps I was betrayed. Perhaps there was just a face put on. I recently was driving up an off-ramp on a freeway. Came across a man from a distance. I could see him. A sign, family in crisis. I was able to be in the lane nearest him. And I was able to put down my window and I was stopped there. I was able to have a conversation. I assured him of prayer. He certainly saw I was a priest. Wasn't trying to hide that. I would have probably tried to go in the far lane if I didn't want to be seen. But I knew as I was driving away that I was called just to pray for his family. I'd slid him a few dollars. But then I turned the corner and I was getting on another street. Another man, family in crisis, the same sign. No, I don't think it was a conspiracy. I don't think they were in it together. Who knows the full story? But all I know is that those were two families and that I was so aware of the limitedness of my generosity. I think the Lord is making an invitation and He's not going to give up. Even as this homily series ends next week, the voice of Lazarus, that voice that I heard in the Roman streets, dammi una moneta, that voice is not going away. When I first arrived at Holy Name, there was a family that told me, we have made a decision as a family to spend one day of the month in some act of concerted charity. They, in fact, invited me to the IOCP, the Interfaith Outreach and Community Partners. And I was blessed to go and pack groceries that would be brought to seniors who are homebound. It was a beautiful thing that they invited me into. I don't see that family here at Mass today. Actually, I saw them at the 8:30 Mass. They were here. But nobody can make that decision for you. It's a decision that in our heart of hearts, we have to make. And I conclude with this last story. I remember one time, it was probably October or November, we had Christmas on the horizon. I remember my parents discussing something that was very distressing for me. I remember them saying, and this was all in theory, but they're just saying, they brought me and my sister together, they're saying, we really feel it on our hearts that we need to do something more radical. Christmas can't just be about exchanging gifts between us when we're aware of so much need that's out there. And I remember thinking to myself, I know where this is going. They said, in effect, we're thinking of having a year without gifts for ourselves so that we can use all those resources and dedicate them to someone else's. And I remember myself, I remember to this day, I remember being an obstacle. I remember saying, that couldn't possibly happen. I think my sister rallied with me as well. And guess what? It didn't happen that year. And it didn't happen the year after. I wonder to myself, and I look deep into my heart and say, did I hold back my family from a beautiful and generous, radical act beyond what I was willing and comfortable to do? Today I ask that same question. What are the obstacles for us? Perhaps it's the sheer size and the scope. Perhaps it's the inability to see that our gift will make any difference at all. But no matter what the obstacle is, know that the power of faith is even greater. So today we join the apostles, acknowledging that without faith, we cannot give as we are called to give. Lord, you have had us here in the corner of the boxing ring one more time. Encourage us by this word, by your example of generosity, and send us back it out into our lives, strengthened and filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, that our faith may be increased. Amen.